Welcome to The Medicine Box on CNBCTV18.com with me, your host, Ekta Batra. This podcast aims to give you an insight on all things pharma and health, from discussing trends in the industry to key issues in health with all the relevant experts. And in the fourth series of The Medicine Box, we get a mix of industry and analyst opinion. We have experts discussing the key opportunities and challenges of Indian pharma and health, along with perspective from cutting-edge companies ranging from MNCs to the startup world. Our guest on today's podcast is Kapil Khandelwal of Toro FinServe LLP, which is aiming to be India's first private equity fund that aims to invest in healthcare infra projects. Kapil has 25 years' experience in the healthcare sector and has carried out over 30 transactions globally, including the entry of Johns Hopkins in Saudi Aramco, Cleveland Clinic in the Gulf region, and Manipal Hospitals in Malaysia. Kapil, hi, welcome to the podcast.
Glad to be back again in the studio, Ekta.
Well, Kapil, you know, let's start with a little bit of brief with regards to El Toro. Where exactly are you all today? What exactly are your investments?
So, as we start investing from our fund, at this point in time, we have issued 3 term sheets worth 750 crores. First of our transaction should be announced in the next few months. We are in the process of due diligence and closure. The other 2 transactions we hope to probably complete in the next 3 to 4 months' time as we close our first transaction.
Okay. So what exactly is the fund size and the investment size for you all right now in terms of the corpus?
So the total fund size is $250 million. We have a commitment of close to about $131 million. We have not yet done our first close. However, we are already deploying capital out of the fund as side investments, which would be rolled in into our fund as we complete our first close.
Okay, so what are these side investments? I'll come to maybe the 3 transactions that you're looking at primarily, but what are these side investments?
So what we have done is we would be warehousing some of these transactions. Once we complete our first close, these transactions would become part of our fund.
Okay, I'm sure you can't talk about these transactions at this point in time, but give us a sense in terms of what we can expect. Where exactly are you looking to deploy funds when it comes to Indian healthcare?
So let me, rewind a little bit. When I came last on your show, we mentioned we were looking to deploy capital and we were looking at 2 transactions. Both those transactions have matured. Term sheets have been issued. Mm. One of them is a center of excellence in oncology space. Mm-hmm. And we are acquiring the flagship hospital. Mm-hmm. The value of the deal and the terms of the deal at this point in time, I cannot disclose. The second transaction that we mentioned was a center of excellence in cardiology. Mm-hmm. Which is again a very large transaction. One is a company in which is a listed company, and the other one is a privately held company. Mm-hmm. So both these transactions, since we last spoke, have matured at term sheet and deployment phase. There's another transaction that we've just added on since we last spoke, which is again a chain of hospitals, which has investments through private equity as well. Okay. Things and environment have changed. So I would be more than happy to talk what are the positives over the last 1 year since we last spoke about our fund.
Okay. Well, will you be taking over the entire management of these hospitals that you've spoken about, or is it probably just going to be a partial amount of stake and then you'll probably exit when you see some returns come through?
So we are not a pure play private equity fund. Mm-hmm. What we are going to do is we acquire the land and building, mm-hmm. And the essential infrastructure, mm-hmm. Of the hospital on a sale and lease back model and provide them growth funding. Okay. For expansion. Mm-hmm. So we do not necessarily take a management position or board positions in some of the investments that we are talking about. Essentially, our exit is not through a buyback or a stake sale, but a listing as a REIT or a sale to a strategic investor like a CPPIB or some of the pension funds who are looking at steady returns of investment.
Okay. Well, just give us a sense in terms of the REIT formula. Y'all are looking to actually be India's first healthcare REIT.
That's correct. We aspire to be India's first healthcare REIT. What we would be doing is we have formed our fund as an AIF Category 2 fund under the SEBI. We are going to be deploying capital out of this AIF structure. The exit route, one of the exit route is going through, is going to be through a healthcare REIT.
Okay, so there are no definite plans as of now. First, you need these transactions to close, and then eventually you'll probably think of becoming, think of a REIT formula after the transactions are closed.
So when you start a fund, you pitch to your LPs and investors. Obviously, we have kind of taken all the legal opinion and put all the ducks in the row. The real intent would be to go as a REIT, unless we get a very sweetener of a deal from any other, you know, strategic investor who wants to probably acquire the bouquet of assets that we have already invested in. We are kind of well programmed to be, you know, India's first REIT.
Okay. We'll come back to what your thoughts are on the Indian healthcare space in terms of hospitals, diagnostics, etc. But I just wanted a bit of a background in terms of the transactions that you've done. For example, John Hopkins entering Saudi Aramco. Give us a sense in terms of these kind of transactions. What did you facilitate? What's the atmosphere when it comes to these kind of transactions?
So a lot of large American academic medical research centers and were looking to, you know, expand outside of their, you know, country. And they were looking at prize assets, which they could probably, you know, work or partner and, you know, uplift the quality and the delivery of healthcare. Saudi Aramco is one of the largest oil and gas producer in the world. They have a large healthcare system in Dharan in Saudi Arabia, and you know, they were looking to exit out because healthcare is not core to them, and were looking to partner with a strategic partner who would probably manage and deliver healthcare services to their employees, contractors, and the families. And that is where we were able to bring in John Hopkins, which was looking to look at opportunities outside of the US. And this became a very strategic fit for them to join hands and work a win-win relationship with Saudi Aramco.
Okay. Why haven't we seen such kind of transactions take place in the Indian market? Say, for example, Cleveland Clinic entering into India, John Hopkins entering into India.
Well, I would reserve my comments here. We have been talking to some of them as our LPs in our fund. There is an intent for them to look at India. A couple of reasons that I feel maybe preventing them or looking at India. One, you know, the type of valuations that Indian, well-established Indian healthcare systems expect are possibly amongst the highest in the world. So that's one of the reasons which kind of prohibits them. Second, although there are a lot of successful Indian doctors working in their healthcare system and would like to come back to India and contribute in uplifting the Indian healthcare and the quality of Indian healthcare, there are certain restrictions or the way some of these healthcare systems like the Cleveland Clinic and Johns Hopkins and Mayo Clinic and so on and so forth would like to probably associate their brand and their name. So these are some of the constraints which have prevented them to probably enter in the Indian market. Having said that, they do have representatives working in India. They do work with a lot of healthcare providers in India in terms of transferring or consulting with patients who may would like to get treatment at their centers in the US and elsewhere. So they are very much having people on the ground here, but they have not yet taken the final step of striking a deal or of partnering with a certain player or a provider in India.
Okay. Well, is it much more difficult for an Indian, for an American company or a foreign company to work in India? For example, Quest Diagnostics, they were in the country for around 10 odd years, but they did not see the kind of traction that we've seen for other diagnostic players, and they eventually exited the Indian market as well. That's just one example. But is that something that you can extrapolate in terms of one of the concerns which stops such big giants from entering India or partnering with Indian companies?
So Quest, as an example, I could probably relate to, because let me be very specific about Quest. When I was with Jubilant, Quest were in dialogue with us to partner and enter into India. We did the recce of the market, we did the assessment of the market, and at some point in time, their leadership decided to go alone.
Okay. So is it important to have a partner then in India?
Yes. Way back in the 90s, when the Indian markets were opening up, it was very important that you enter the market with a partner who can probably bring you the local nuances, the competition, the distribution structure, and work through the market with them to accelerate their entry. Having also done a deal for Core Diagnostics, where we advised them on their Series B funding, we feel that there have been certain strategic mistakes that that Quest particularly has committed on its own, or misreading the market and how the market would have worked through, and hence I guess after spending 10 years they have decided to exit. Let me also say that there are other diagnostic players like LabCorp and some other players who have used the Indian market more as a resourcing base. When I was in Wipro, we were working with some of the large diagnostic players from the US in terms of resource augmentation and expertise and product development. I guess market is very large. However, one of the issues when it comes, and this is the same learnings that we did get from doing the Core Diagnostic funding as well, the price points in India are fairly lower than what a similar test in the US would be, whether it is a high-end test or an esoteric test or what have you. Secondly, the insurance market has not developed and penetrated, where the reimbursement levels which large diagnostic players in the US get prohibit them in terms of looking at a pure play volume. Over numbers and high low numbers and high profitability in the US market. Thirdly, there is also concern about the IP. A large diagnostic players have been innovating in the space of genomics, molecular diagnostics, and what have you. They feel that there's not enough protection. when I was also invested in a high-end diagnostic chain called XY Clinic, where we were trying to disrupt the markets in this part of the world, one of our concerns as an investor was also, you know, IP and, you know, how local players may probably, you know, copycat us and proliferate at a lower price point, you know, killing our investment and our returns. So these are some concerns some of these foreign diagnostic players have in India while entering India.
Okay, so that's on diagnostics. Where exactly is the healthcare industry right now? We've seen a couple of transactions take place in terms of consolidation when it comes to hospitals. For example, the Fortis transaction, Radiant and Max. Do you expect further consolidation? Where exactly does the hospital space stand?
Well, it's a great time for the healthcare industry. On one end, the top 10 are consolidating and you know, growing bigger, in which case, you know, you would have economies of scale and, you know, operations, you know, being getting more efficient, duplication of assets and resources getting eliminated. That's one positive trend. On the second thing is, you know, the pipeline for the next rung of players are also emerging through private equity and other, you know, invested investments. So we see that this consolidation would continue for the time in the medium term. But that also opens up a lot of opportunities for the next rung of players to either partner or work, you know, models out, because as players become larger, there are niche in the markets which will open up, and which will probably, you know, allow for opportunities for smaller players to innovate and grow. You know, one of my experience was, you know, investing in Noah Medical Center, which was India's first daycare surgery chain. And it was a niche segment, which obviously has opened up opportunities and demonstrated that healthcare could be delivered cheaper, better, faster, and at a cost and a price point much lower than the larger players.
So do you think that maybe there could be a consolidation when it comes to the size of hospitals which are available, not just the type of facilities? For example, you did talk about daycare, but in general, maybe the room, the number of rooms that each hospital has, for example, consolidates to a lower size, because currently the average occupancy across hospitals is anywhere between, say, maximum 55 to around 70%. So do you see that side, that kind of consolidation of CapEx?
Consolidation will happen on three fronts. One would be, you know, on the geography, entering into markets where, you know, an incumbent is not present. So able to kind of expand geographically. Second would be in terms of horizontal or verticalization.
Okay.
So for instance, a general or a full service, you know, player taking on a niche or a vertical, say a mother or a child or an oncology or an IVF, to add on to their bouquet of services to become a much focused full service player. And thirdly, there would be what we are now seeing because of Ayushman Bharat and, you know, the cost pressure. Players like what we were when we established the Jubilant Hospital, the low cost and, you know, no frills type of, you know, assets. So those would be some the three type of consolidation which you will see. Having said that, we would also see new players trying to innovate and emerge out and try to consolidate by, you know, taking on smaller players, which they can probably, you know, rework the model and, you know, grow out of it.
Okay. So just before we end this conversation, Kapil, leave us with some thoughts in terms of where you probably see the healthcare space 5 years down the line. 5 years before, we didn't see as much consolidation. Maybe we saw a Wockhardt transaction with Fortis. But do you expect much more in terms of consolidation, less debt, and higher occupancies? For example, what would it look like 5 years down the line?
So I'm very positive and bullish on the healthcare sector per se. We would see a lot more capacity buildup. This initial blip that has happened given the last year's issues in the financial crisis and all, I think would probably, close out. Once our transactions are announced as well, you will realize the type of cost of funding at which we are probably going to be entering the market and doing our transactions would also kind of, boost or give a fillip to the investment activity and growth and capacity building in the healthcare. Mm-hmm. Thirdly, what I believe is that if we just look at the pure play, demographics, we are way below even, in terms of our peers, which in a current economic survey, which we got benchmarked with, bed to population ratio and all. So there is a lot that needs to be done. However, my belief is that we need to do something, which is far more local rather than adapt to, how the other players across the world have done or been there, which is what, the investment activity should probably focus on rather than, investors and people like us focusing on, the concentration of capital around the consolidation that's happening in the industry. So we are not spreading the risk to newer players and helping them grow and become bigger and then probably consolidate in the future. So that's my personal belief that we need to do a lot more in terms of bringing, the next rung of players in the next 5 years who could then be the Fortis and, the Medantas of the world.
Okay, fair enough. That point is taken. Kapil, always a pleasure. Thank you very much for joining in on the Medicine Box and discussing the entire healthcare space and the current scenario with us. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Ekta, and pleasure being with you.